to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ms. Julie, could you take roll?
Councilmember Onslow?
Here.
Councilmember Coker?
Present.
Councilmember Wells?
Here.
Councilmember Chipman?
Here.
Councilmember Cole?
Here.
Mayor Lindsay? Mayor Pro Tem Akeley?
Here.
I would move to excuse Mayor Lindsay from
Second.
The council meeting.
Second.
We have a motion to excuse Mayor Lindsay. Thank you. Mr. Stewart, are there
all
any...
All those in favor.
Oh, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Mr. Stewart, are there any late changes to the agenda?
No late changes, sir.
Thank you. All right. At this time, I'd like Chief Dorio to introduce our new interim lieutenant, Andrew, to the council.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Akeley and council members. It is my privilege to introduce to you tonight really quickly here Lieutenant Rachel Andrew. She is recently retired in July from the Portland Police Department after almost 28 years. She is a Ridgefield resident with her husband Dan and their children, and we were lucky to snag her to come here and be our interim lieutenant. I'm extremely excited with the breadth of experience that she brings here to Ridgefield for us, and I think we're going to do some amazing things in the next few years. So I'll give you a few words here.
First, I want to say a big thank you to Chief Doriot to give me this opportunity. I am a Sputter through and through. We've been living in this community for over 20 years. Our kiddos currently go to the high school, and I love a potato, so, you know, go Sputters. But this has been kind of a homecoming for me. I love the community of Ridgefield, the city of Ridgefield. It has been an awesome experience thus far, 7 days in,
oh.
You know, drinking from the fire hose still. But it's an opportunity to see the growth. The city is changing exponentially, and to be a part of that vision and mission is super exciting. So thank you for the opportunity. Thank you, Chief Doriot. I really am excited.
I did have a question. Do we have to put up? I mean, do we get the pleasure of seeing your dad more? Or?
Oh yes. So I have a husband who is pretty chatty. He also is a Portland police officer. He's a detective and retired as well.
Oh.
And he is very involved in the community of Ridgefield. So everyone knows my husband. No one knows who I am. So I always say I'm Dan's wife.
Congrats.
Well,
welcome to the team. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right.
All right. At this time, I have a proclamation to read. Whereas more than 50 years ago, President Richard Nixon signed a proclamation designating January as National Blood Donor Month to honor voluntary blood donors and to encourage more people to give blood. And whereas January is a period of critical blood shortages, people stop donating blood during the holidays and when they get sick, and this past year's severe weather caused the cancellation of many donor events. And whereas a blood transfusion occurs every 2 seconds in America, one in seven people entering a hospital depends on a ready and available blood supply, and a single donation can save lives. And whereas Ridgefield High School students hosted a blood drive on January 4th to inspire the next generation of blood donors. And whereas BloodWorks Northwest, a local nonprofit community-based organization founded in 1944, provides a life-saving blood supply to 95% of hospitals in the Pacific Northwest. And whereas the City of Ridgefield partners with BloodWorks Northwest to provide a pop-up blood donation centers at the Ridgefield Outdoor Recreation Complex to support local patients. Now, therefore, I, Rob Akeley, Mayor Pro Tem of the City of Ridgefield, do hereby proclaim January 2023 as Ridgefield Blood Donor Month. and encourage all residents to celebrate the new year by giving blood now, dated this 12th day of January, 2023. And I would like to have Lauren come up and accept the proclamation.
Thank you so much, Mayor Pro Tem and Council. This past, I'd say, 9 months, our hospitals are transfusing at record levels. We are collecting blood and shipping it out to hospitals as fast as we can, but with the decline in donors, we are struggling. On December 30th, a code red blood emergency was issued by BloodWorks Northwest. That means that we are over 4 days at less than a 24-hour supply of blood on our bank there in Renton. To keep a regional blood supply stable, we need 1,000 donors a day. Currently, we're seeing about half of that number. So we hope that with partnership with the City of Ridgefield, the pop-up donor centers that we are having throughout, and even encouraging the high school students to participate, that we'll be able to reverse this and encourage the young donors in the area to take part in this life-saving act. Just an hour every couple of weeks, up to six times a year, can truly make an impact. This evening, I would like to introduce Joshua Bell, who is a Ridgefield resident who is battling osteosarcoma, just to kind of give a little bit of perspective of the patient that receives our blood product. So thank you so much, and I'd like to hand it off to Joshua.
First of all, thank you guys for making this proclamation. Blood donations really helped me out during my time in the hospital. One day I could be extremely exhausted with pretty much no motivation to do anything, and then you get a transfusion and a couple days later it really changed my, I guess, even emotions, but physically I just felt so much better. And I know that there's so much of a shortage with these transfusions, and so it really means a lot when people think about donating blood. And so thank you so much, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I had a question. Is there a blood drive coming up? Or did we just have it?
So we just had one this past Monday. We will be back in the area. We are looking at about April 7th. We should be back at the outdoor complex. We are also looking at other venues. So if anybody has anything in mind that's a little over 900 square feet in the city of Ridgefield, we'd love to schedule more blood drives. This community has been really engaging. The high school, that their drive back on the 4th, we saw just about 50 students come through, and the teachers are also participating, which is great to see those students. And some of them, this was actually their second or third donation that they've made. So being under the age of 18 to already have three donations under your belt is pretty impressive. So we're really excited to engage with the youth and the community at large. So we love coming to Ridgefield. We're hoping to come back more.
I'd like to thank Joshua for coming and stating his case. I do have experience with it. My wife had 1,500 blood transfusions the first year that she had this rare blood disease. So it is very important for everybody to give. And she works in open heart surgery. And last week they were working on a lady, and they were calling for blood on a regular basis for her. And the blood bank called and said, I hope that's your last request, because that's all we have of that type of blood. So it's really important that we all give when we can. So thank you very much for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much.
If we don't want to wait till April, where's the quickest and fastest place we can go to get blood?
Off the top of my head, we are up in the Woodland area, Longview, but we do have a fixed location in Vancouver at the Vancouver Mall.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right, it's now time for public comment. Anyone wishing to address the City Council regarding items not subject to a public hearing may come forward at this time to the podium or use the raised hand feature located on the toolbar at the bottom of your Zoom screen. For controls over the phone, press star 9 for raise hand and press star 6 to mute, unmute. Please state your full name and limit your comment to 3 minutes. Is there anybody wishing to give public comment? Is there anybody online, Ms. Julie, that would like to give public comment?
Not seeing anyone online.
Not seeing anyone at the mic. I'm going to close the public comment.
Mr. Mayor, I move to accept the consent agenda as published.
So we have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, the consent agenda, all those in favor, say aye.
Well, is there, can we get a discussion on that?
I'm sorry.
Sorry, there's just a couple.
Oh, you had a question?
It said that I was present at the December 29th meeting, and I was not. I was home ill. So we just wanted to clarify that.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Rob. Okay.
Okay.
For the in the agenda.
All right.
As corrected.
I'd like to approve the agenda as corrected. All right. We have a we'll now move into the business.
All those in favor.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you, sir.
All right, we're going to move into the business side of the meeting. The first is a motion and approval of the franchise agreement between the City of Ridgefield and Comcast. Mr. Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor Pro Tem and Council. This is an item before you as a renewal of a 10-year franchise agreement with Comcast and the City of Ridgefield. The City of Ridgefield has had a franchise agreement with Comcast since 2011. The 10-year agreement expired in summer in July of 2022. Staff has been working with Comcast representatives since that time to update the agreement. The proposed changes between the previous 10-year agreement and the one proposed for you this evening. The first one is just updates for consistency with federal regulations and just 10 years of changes that we've seen within the regulatory environment. The second, again, is more of a ministerial change of the transfer or change of control for, you know, if there was a change of control from Comcast to a different provider name. The third one is really the only substantive change before you, and the substantive change is related to cable service to public buildings. This is an update of language that is to be consistent with FCC regulations. This is something that really doesn't have a lot to do with us. It has to do with more other larger jurisdictions around the country. This is that there are public jurisdictions that are provided with cable service by Comcast as part of the franchise agreement with no recognition to the cost associated with that. You think of someone like Ridgefield, we don't have many public buildings that would be served by this. You think of someone like LA, or a larger jurisdiction where there are a lot of public buildings that are served by it. The FCC regulatory change is to allow for the, you know, provider, for Comcast, to actually reduce the franchise fee by the cost associated with providing service to those public buildings. So that is the one real substantive change to the franchise agreement. Again, this is being brought forward to you as a 10-year agreement that would be forward-looking from this time. There are no other real substantive changes that I would bring at this time, but I'm happy to answer any questions you might have. We also do have a representative from Comcast. Samantha Ritterbusch is online if you have any specific questions that for Comcast that they could better answer than I.
Thank you. Council, you have questions? Matt?
Yeah. So is there a franchise fee that Comcast pays the city?
There is a franchise fee that is paid by Comcast to the city. It is approximately $120,000 annually that the city receives as part of the franchise fee from Comcast.
Gotcha.
Councilor Onsel, you have a question?
Steve, I didn't ask this the other day. What is 10 years normal?
Yes.
Okay.
It is, and the 10-year agreement is, it's standard for us. It's also standard within other jurisdictions and standard for jurisdictions within Clark County as well. Clark County and Vancouver, their agreement, also a 10-year agreement, they are coming due in, I believe, July of this year. So they're a little bit behind us as far as the kind of renegotiation of their 10-year contract.
Any other questions?
Just one more quick question.
Yeah, so in the notes here it says there's transfer or change of control, then that's a change. You've got from 50 to 51%. Can you clarify what that means?
My understanding of it, the previous language talked about transfer of ownership of the franchise from Comcast to another name, and that if 50% of the ownership changed, then that would change the franchise. This changes that to 51%. So kind of 50% plus one kind of an idea versus 50%. So it just amends that language. And certainly, I mean, Samantha can correct me if that's not right.
Transfer of ownership of Comcast as a corporation.
Of Comcast,
okay, gotcha.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay,
yes.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I would accept a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I move to – oops, I lost it. I move that we take the staff recommendation – taking action on this item this evening.
Second?
I'll second that.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, it passed. Motion carries. The next order of business is approval of Memorandum of Understanding with the Cowlitz Tribe for Road Inventory. Mr. Stewart.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem and Council and Community. This is an item before you to add a piece of the city's transportation infrastructure to a tribal transportation program inventory. The Cowlitz Tribe, our neighbors to the north, have brought this idea before us, and the item before you is to add our infrastructure to a tribal transportation program inventory that allows for potential funding from sources that we would otherwise not be eligible for, that if we are part of the tribal transportation inventory, that we would be eligible for. Specifically, we're speaking of North Royal Road from Pioneer north to the city limits as the first piece of infrastructure to be added to a tribal transportation inventory with the Cowlitz Tribe. The Cowlitz Tribe is eligible for federal funds to fund infrastructure to and from the tribal reservation up to, I believe, 15 miles from the tribal reservation, up to the point where it intersects with a roadway of equal or greater classification. So what the federal program is set up for is really to help tribes to be able to fund those road projects for the roads that serve the tribal reservation getting to and from. For the purposes of this MOU, it is a letter of recognition, recognizing that North Royal Road serves both the city of Ridgefield, but also does serve as an access point, as a north-south access point for the tribal reservation for the Cowlitz Tribe, and that the roadway itself could benefit from having opportunities for funding with this tribal transportation program to enhance our city infrastructure, which would not change ownership or maintenance responsibility or jurisdiction, but that funding could help for improvements to Royal Road and to 31st as you head north from the city up to the Cowlitz Tribal Reservation. Again, this is the kind of the first piece of what we hope to be a longer-term conversation in partnership with the Cowlitz Tribe for the tribal road inventory, looking at other opportunities for potential funding for roadways that are in the city that do serve the tribal reservation and provide access both to the tribal reservation and to the city. I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have. And again, I believe Dean Reynolds, who is the Public Works Director for the Cowlitz Tribe, is online and can answer any more specific questions that you might have.
Council, questions? We'll start over here with Mr. Cole.
No questions for me.
No.
Mr. Wells?
I defer to Mr. Onslow at the moment, but I'll have some of that afterwards.
Okay.
Oh.
Any questions from you? I do have a question, and then I'll circle back to you, Mr. Wells. I see there's three areas on the map that we have in our packet, and it's about a mile, and I was wondering how many, does the tribe have to apply once a year, and what kind of funds are, how much money is available?
So my understanding, again, Dean can correct me if there's additional information on this. My understanding is there's two pots, there's a specific pot of money through the Tribal Transportation Program that is in the billions. This is more than $1 billion that have been set aside through federal infra package for tribes around the country to apply for to get specific revenue. That is one pot of money. The second pot of money is really more about grant programs, other grant programs that allow for or require tribal sponsors. And we had looked at earlier this year, we had looked at a couple of different programs at the federal level that were possibilities for funding for transportation projects for the city that require a tribal sponsor. And by sponsor, what they mean is for that roadway to be included as part of a tribal transportation inventory. So there is a direct pot of money that has been set aside for tribes across this country. Then there are also additional grant funds available. So again, I'm probably butchering as far as the specific revenue available, and Dean's hand is up, so he can help us with that.
Can you hear me?
I think you're unmuted. Go ahead, Dean.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. Yes, what Steve indicated, what it is, it opens you up to federal grants that are set aside for tribal nations. We have access to other funds to maintain our roads. And as indicated, no, we don't take ownership of the road itself. It's the city's road, maintain, repair. This just gives the city an opportunity to, if you can't get funds or short funded in a year, you can reach out to us and we're here to help guide you to a federal grant that we got some tribe set aside grants. And we can partner with you, use our name, to partner to go after the grant if you got to need funding to help maintain the roads.
Well, thank you. We really enjoy partnering with the ALNA, so thank you for your help on this.
I got a comment.
Yeah. And thank you.
Go ahead, Mr. Wells.
Okay. Mr. Reynolds, I got one comment I'd like to make, and at the road that we have on our map here ends at 289th. And Royal Road. At that point, it's really a bad intersection, and I'd like to interject that we put a roundabout in there so that makes that intersection a lot better. It's really failing as far as making corners there. It's a recommendation. It isn't a requirement. We don't have that option to do that. But also that it would turn around and accommodate a North 50th Avenue exit out of that for a potential road in the future, which was a vision of one of the port commissioners, Roy Randall, past one. So it's just a minor suggestion, but it's on the record now. Thank you.
Yes, if you would like me to answer the question, Mayor Pro Tem?
Yes.
Or is it a question?
Go ahead, Dean.
Yeah, yes, we can. And I just want to make sure, working with City Manager Steve, he's been wonderful in trying to lay this out. This is just one step of many. So last month we got with the Clark County. They signed an MOU with us on the rest of Northwest 34th going onto the reservation. So there's other opportunities. This is the first step, I think, of many that we can partner with the City of Ridgefield and add roads into our inventory and look at projects like a roundabout, because that does tie into that road. And if that's something that you have planned on your future agenda for planning and construction, I definitely would be here to help, Public Works Director or whomever city manager is in charge of working on some future grants, and we would definitely help out finding future federal grants to help you find fundings for that roundabout.
Thank you.
I would accept a motion.
I just wanted to say that whatever what Mr. Wells said, I was supposed to bring up, and yes, I totally agree with the roundabout in that area. It's necessary. Thank you very much. And with that, I would move to accept the approval of understanding with the Cowlitz Tribe for the road for road inventory.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion carried. All right, we have a motion of CPU. We have a motion for approval of CPU Ridgefield Management Plan. Claire Lusk.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. Good evening, Council and members of the public. The item before you this evening is a Ridgefield and Clark Public Utilities, or CPU, Critical Areas Management Plan Agreement. Council adopted the current Ridgefield CPU Critical Areas Management Plan Agreement back in January of 2018. The 2018 agreement was for a five-year period from the date of signing, and this proposal is to renew the agreement for an additional 5 years. Per the proposed 2023 Ridgefield CPU plan, which is attached in your packets, the intent of the management plan is to provide CPU with a means for the efficient, reliable, and effective continuance of current and future activities associated with repair, maintenance, and operations while complying with the City of Ridgefield's Critical Areas Protection Ordinance. CPU performs, as you know, many repairs, upgrades, existing facilities, reconducting electric lines, and other maintenance and operational activities of its infrastructure and facilities on a regular basis. Many of these activities involve routine maintenance and repair activities, such as tree pruning, vegetation management, chemical usage, mobile refueling, and pole replacement. And as well, some of these activities are associated with emergencies such as power outages, service interruptions, and general public safety. So this management plan identifies mitigation measures that will be utilized in conjunction with those activities that are conducted within designated critical areas and buffers to satisfy the requirements of a critical areas permit conforming with the Critical Areas Protection Ordinance, Chapter 18280 of the Ridgefield Development Code. So essentially what this agreement does, this critical areas management plan, is instead of every time CPU needs to do work in a critical area and buffer, us making them come in and get a critical area permit, we have this agreement that sets forth standard best practices and mitigation activities that apply to CPU's typical activities in Ridgefield's critical areas and buffers, so that this agreement covers all of that work for its term. And staff did approve a critical area permit associated with the proposed 2023 critical areas management plan back in October. So we've reviewed the proposed plan and found it to be in compliance with the city's Critical Areas Protection Ordinance. And as a condition of approval associated with that critical areas permit, the management plan is not to be affected until it is adopted by you, the Ridgefield City Council. Be happy to take any questions.
Council, questions? We'll start over here with Mr. Onslow.
I only had one, and it's actually for Steve, but that's this. I couldn't find anything in the 90 pages that would discourage burying the lines. So this does not have anything to do with the policy that we have of burying the lines.
That's correct, Councilor. There is nothing within this agreement that that would discourage the burying of lines, and that is a policy that we have worked closely with CPO and that they are aware of. That is our policy to
That's
bury lines.
As wonderful. Thank
yes,
you.
Sir.
Questions? Starter Matt?
No.
I do have one question. And I had asked this question when I first moved to Ridgefield when I was just a citizen making public comment. I had moved into Tavern Ridge, and my question is, I would like one of the CP or somebody that is qualified to evaluate the light poles down Great Blue Road in Tavern Ridge, and just drive around Tavern Ridge and look at some of the light poles. Some of them are at an extreme angle, so much that I kind of looked at the base and there's no way to like adjust it because they're just kind of look like they're stabbed into the ground, and it looks like several of them have moved like 30 degrees. And my other question is, and I brought this up 4.5 years ago, is the shade side of the light poles are green and black from the mold and mildew and moss, and they need to be power washed. I've cleaned mine up as high as I could reach, but it's going to need like a basket and a power washer. But so my question is maintenance. If they go crooked or if they need cleaning, who repairs that?
The city makes those repairs.
Okay. I would just like it to request to have a city person look at them and see if there's any concern there, or if I don't know if any of the other neighborhoods have those issues as well, but like the ones in Taverner, they've been up since 2007 and they've never been cleaned. Any other questions?
I don't have any issues with that. I don't have my light poles yet.
So. All right. I would accept a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the CPU Ridgefield Management Plan.
Second. All those in second?
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion carried. All right, next order of business is the first reading of Ordinance Number 1390, adding a new Chapter 8.35, Compost Procurement. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor Pro Tem and Council. So what we have before you tonight is something that's actually required by new legislation that was approved in the 2022 session. Washington State Legislature adopted HB 1799, Organic Materials Management, during that session and codified it in RCW 43.19A.150, Section 1. So the bill requires cities and counties over 25,000 population and cities and counties that offer organic materials collection services to adopt a composting procurement ordinance. So we found out about this last year. The legislature had asked for these ordinances to be approved prior to the end of 2022. That's why we're bringing it to you today. And one thing that we will be asking, I know it wasn't in there to waive second and adopt, but since the legislature wanted this approved by the end of the year, we would ask for that tonight. So Ridgefield, we do offer organic materials collection services through Waste Connections. That's why we're required to have this ordinance and put this into code. So the ordinance is modeled after other Washington municipalities to address procurement requirements to determine if compost products can be used and how the procurement would occur in city-led projects. It does also allow for favoritism to local composting entities, you know, places that are doing it here, so that we don't have to do some of the same procurement requirements. It's preferred that we work local. Ridgefield Public Works will be required also to report on composting utilization in projects by December 31st of 2024, and then every even year after that. So the city currently already uses composting in various projects such as landscaping, trail construction, and similar type projects, and will continue to review if composting can be used in future city-led projects. With that, I'll answer any questions you may have. Otherwise, we would request that you waive second and adopt tonight.
All right, well, start with questions down with Mr. Cole and work this way.
Yeah, so what was the intent of this law? I know that this is kind of more of a compliance ordinance for us, just being compliant with state law, but do we know what the intent of the legislature was doing?
My understanding on the intent is that by using the organic materials in your projects is it's not going into the landfills and creating more methane. And so that helps with the greenhouse gas requirements that they're looking at for the future.
Okay, and this only applies to city-led projects. This isn't like a residential composting initiative or anything like that. It's just for city-led projects where we use materials that
have compost. Yes, that's correct.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
Councilor Chipman.
No questions.
Councilor Walsh.
Yeah, I've got a couple questions, not comments, and we would qualify, wouldn't we, in 2022 for that because we had our tree days, and then we turn around, had H&H come in and chipped all the trees and shipped that, and they use that in composting?
Well, if it was used in a city project, then yes, that would be part of the reporting we would have to do to the legislature in 2024. It's not that you have to do so much. You have to look at, when you're doing a project, you have to look if composting can be used in the procurement of that project. So let's say we go out for bid, we have to ask the contractors, can you do procurement, whether it's, you know, part of the road, the trail, sidewalk, whatever it might be, or landscaping, and try to use as much composting as possible. So we already do some of that in our project, so we would just continue doing what we're doing.
Some of our developers have used their chippings for trails in the past, so they just have to document it?
Well, it doesn't count for developers. This is for city-led projects, so projects that we are going out for bid.
Okay. Well, that cleanup was a city-led project and gave everybody the opportunity to bring their debris to the public ops center.
That's
correct.
To turn
around and dispose of it or reuse it. I guess
that's correct.
That way. Okay, thank you.
Councilor Onslow, do you have any questions?
I do. One of the things that they have in there is that moles and gophers will not be tolerated. It's like, okay. So we don't have to follow all the rules because we're not over 25,000, or?
We do have to follow the rules, and the reason for that is if you're a city even under 25,000 or a county under 25,000 population and you offer organic waste collection 26 times a year, which we do, it's every other week, then we're required to follow this and adopt the ordinance.
So we could do 25 and we'd be okay, right? Okay, thank you.
We did this year because of ice.
Councilor Croker, do you have any questions? Council, are you okay with waiving the second reading and taking action on this tonight?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yes.
All right. Ms. Julie, would you read the ordinance into the record?
Thank you. Ordinance number 1390, Ordinance of the City of Richfield, adding a new chapter 8.35, Compost Procurement, to Title 8, Health and Welfare of the Richfield Municipal Code.
All right, I would accept a motion.
I move that we waive second reading and adopt Ordinance number 1390 as presented.
I have a second.
Second.
We have a motion and second. All those in favor?
Oh,
Ms. Julie, call the ordinance.
Councilmember Coker?
Aye.
Councilmember Onslow?
Aye.
Councilmember Wells?
Aye.
Councilmember Chipman?
Aye.
Councilmember Cole?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Akeley?
Aye. All right, it passed. We're moving into a public hearing now. It's now time for a public hearing. If you signed up for the city, I'll need to announce the public hearing. It's the.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor Pro Tem. First is the staff report associated with it. Then you would open the public hearing at that time.
Right. All right. We have a public hearing and a first reading of ordinance number 1388, downtown fee waiver. Ms. Lust.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. Good evening again, Council and members of the public. The item before you this evening is a proposal for, excuse me, I'm flipping around here. Proposal to amend Chapter 3.70 of the Richfield Municipal Code to allow Council to waive certain development fees for projects in the central mixed use and waterfront mixed use zones. Start off with some context here and goals. The downtown waterfront subarea plan was adopted into the 2016 Richfield Comprehensive Plan. Some goals of the downtown subarea plan include long-term revitalization and redevelopment of the waterfront and historic downtown, preserving small town feel, walkable scale, and a historic business core in downtown Richfield, creating incentives for infill development and promoting redevelopment and reinvestment in the downtown waterfront core, as well as finding financing mechanisms to support development, including reduction in fees for buildings matching downtown character through architectural design standards. A couple other things to note, the city does have development standards for both the central mixed use and waterfront mixed use zone based on those zones' unique characteristics, including architectural design standards. There is an existing TIF, or traffic impact fee waiver, available to developments in the central mixed-use zone. And another factor this evening in the proposal is the unique development challenges found in the downtown waterfront core, including challenges typically associated with older platting patterns, such as smaller lots, view sheds, creating height limits in the area, and more in the waterfront, the challenges of the environmental constraints in this area. So I'll go through a few key pieces of the proposed code updates. The text amendments are attached in your packets. So a few key items. The sort of objective criteria that a downtown fee waiver would be based on for eligibility would be A, is the request for a project located in either the central mixed-use or waterfront mixed-use zone. And after I get through this list, I'll flip to a map of what those zones look like. And B, does the proposal meet or exceed development and design standards for the underlying zone? So simple, basic, objective criteria. Other criteria as written that Council may consider include, but are not limited to, the nature of the project and its anticipated impact on the downtown and or waterfront area, comparable fee waivers or deferrals that have been approved, and any other identified public benefits of the project. A couple fees could not be waived. The first of those is system development charges, and also any fees collected by or for outside agencies. And of course, any situations where a federal, state, or local rule would prohibit the waiver. The council could not approve that waiver. Procedurally, the application for waiver, which a implementation step for staff would be to clarify a process for application, but an application for waiver would be required to be made by the applicant prior to final approval of a project. Fees already paid at the time of that application cannot be reimbursed under the waiver, and all fees not yet paid at the time of that waiver application would simply be deferred until a decision was made by council whether to accept or reject that waiver. As mentioned, this would be a council decision, so the application for waiver would go to council with a narrative addressing those criteria. And if approved, if denied, deferred fees would be due within 10 days of that decision. And as I mentioned, I would show you a map of where this would apply. The area outlined in red encompasses both the central mixed use and the waterfront mixed use zones. And I'm available to answer questions, as are Mr. Stewart and Ms. Parker. Thank you.
Council, questions for Ms. Lust? We'll start with Councilor Onslow.
No questions.
Councilor Croker? Mr. Cole.
Just one quick question. Do traffic impact fees go towards improving street parking access when needed? So if they were to build like in the downtown core and it was impact parking, would that normally go, TIF go towards that?
Typically, traffic impact fees would not go to that. Traffic impact fees are for capital projects. They're for enhancements to the system, not to kind of the maintenance of the system.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
And a TIF waiver isn't part of this proposal. That program already exists for downtown.
No, it's good. Yeah.
Mr. Walls?
No comment.
Okay, with no questions, I will now open the public hearing to receive testimony. It's now time for a public hearing. If you signed up with the city clerk prior to the meeting to address the city council, your name will be called, and the city clerk will send you permission to unmute your microphone or come to the forward to the podium. If you have not provided notice in advance, speak during the public hearing. Please use the raise hand feature located on the toolbar at the bottom of your screen if you wish to make a comment. City clerk will send you permission to unmute your microphone. For the controls over the phone, press star 9. For a raise hand, press star 6 to mute, unmute. As in a live meeting, please state your name and limit your comments to 3 minutes. There will be no back and forth interaction with the city council. Does anybody in present want to give public comment? Anybody online?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you've been unmuted.
Hello, thank you.
Yes, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yes, my name is Kimberly Elvin, a life citizen of Clark County. This is my first time speaking here in Ridgefield, so I'm going to ask a question. I believe if I can trust your agenda, there's a public speaking tonight. Would that be correct?
Yeah, well, this is a public hearing and first reading of of the downtown fee waiver.
Yeah, I'd rather not speak at the hearings so there will be a time where the public can speak.
Yes, at the end of the meeting, there's another time for public comment.
Thank you so much. I'll wait for that time, sir.
Okay. Anyone else want to make public comment? Seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing and ask Julie to read the ordinance into the record.
Thank you. Ordinance number 1388, ordinance of the City of Ridgefield, Washington, amending Chapter 3.70 fees for services to authorize the waiver of the development fees for the downtown central mixed use and waterfront mixed use zones.
Thank you. This was the first reading, and it will come back to us at the next council meeting. We have another public hearing and first reading of Ordinance Number 1389, the Northwest 24th Avenue Petition to Annex. Ms. Lust.
Thank you again, Mayor Pro Tem. The agenda item before you this evening is the Northwest 24th Avenue Petition to Annex. Council saw the Northwest 24th Avenue intent to annex on your December 15th meeting and adopted a resolution approving that intent to annex, which then precipitated into the petition to annex, which is the next step in the process. The map before you shows the location of the proposed annexation. It's comprised of 5 parcels, 3 of which you can clearly see, 2 of which are very small. They're on the northern portion of the annexation area, adjacent to the city limits to the north. The property is also adjacent to Northwest Carty Road to the south. The 5 subject parcels total 35.48 acres. Their comprehensive plan designation is urban low. And the current Clark County zoning is residential low density R16 with the urban holding 10 overlay. Per city code, council shall designate all newly annexed lands designated urban low as either residential low density 4, 6, or 8. Under the adopted Carty Road subarea plan, the zoning designation for city zoning will be RLD 4, with a heritage overlay over the southern portion of the proposed annexation area. Purpose per the subarea plan of that overlay, which would be a new overlay, is to encourage preservation and continued use of historic properties and structures in the area. And the Urban Holding 10 overlay would remain with annexation. Urban holding overlays may only be removed basically at the time of development when sufficient infrastructure is available to support urban uses. All right, as I mentioned, the resolution for the intent to annex was adopted on December 15th. And under the direct petition method of annexation, which is what is used here in Ridgefield, typically 60%, owners of 60% or more of the land value of the proposed annexation area must sign the petition to annex. The petition to annex was signed by all of the owners of the three large properties, and they represent 99.9% of the land value of the property proposed for annexation, well exceeding that 60% threshold. The Clark County Assessor reviewed the petition to annex, as well as the survey and legal description of the annexation area, and issued a certification of sufficiency for this petition to annex back on December 20th of 2022. So this evening, welcome City Council discussion and questions on the proposal. There will be a public hearing, and then we are requesting that Council waive second reading and take action tonight on the proposed annexation. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lust. Council, questions? Let's start over here with Mr. Onslow.
No questions.
This is Rachel.
No questions.
Right. Councilor Cole. No. Councilor Chipman.
No.
Councilor Wells. No.
I abstain.
Are you abstaining? Councilor Wells is abstaining. All right, I will now open the public hearing to give receive testimony. It's now time for a public hearing. If you signed up with the city clerk prior to the meeting to address city council, your name will be called, and the city clerk will send you permission to unmute your microphone or come forward to the podium. If you have not provided notice in advance to speak during the public hearing, please use the raise hand feature located on the toolbar at the bottom of your screen if you wish to make a comment. City clerk will send you permission to unmute your microphone. For the controls over the phone, press star 9 for raise the hand and press star 6 to mute unmute. As in a live meeting, please state your name and limit your comments to 3 minutes. There will be no back and forth interaction with the speaker and the city council. Is anybody here want to give public testimony? Anybody online need to want to give public testimony?
Not seeing anyone.
Okay. The hearing is now closed. Ms. Julie, could you read the ordinance into the record?
Thank you. Ordinance number 1389, ordinance of the City of Ridgefield, Washington, annexing into the corporate limits of the City of Ridgefield approximately 35.48 acres identified as the Northwest 24th Avenue annexation area and assigning the zoning of the annexed area as residential low density 4 with urban holding 10 and heritage overlays.
Staff is asking to waive second reading. I would accept a motion.
I move to waive second reading on this one.
Did you say you
move to waive second on this one?
Okay. Do I have a second?
Yeah. And adopt the motion as presented.
Second?
I second that.
We have a motion and second. I'd like to ask Julie to call roll.
Councilmember Cole?
Aye.
Councilmember Chipman?
Aye.
Councilmember Wells?
Abstention.
Councilmember Coker?
Aye.
Councilmember Onslow?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Akeley?
Aye. Hold on a second here. All All right, we're at the another opportunity for public comment. Anyone wishing to address the City Council regarding items not subject to a public hearing may come forward at this time to the podium or use raise hand feature located on the toolbar at the bottom of your Zoom screen. For controls over the phone, press star 9 for the raise hand and press star 6 to mute and unmute. Please state your name and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Anybody wishing to give public comment? Anybody online want to give public comment? We have one online that wants
Hello?
To. Hello? Oh, you're there. Could you introduce yourself? We can hear you.
Yes. Sorry, I'm a little winded. I just got So this is Kimberly Elbin, and I'm a life citizen of Clark County. First, well, I made a phone call this to the meeting this morning, and my first attempt failed as I did not see the little three digits that were grayed out, kind of, and were not highlighted like the blue digits that were highlighted. And so I want to say that also my second try ended with it saying that the meeting has ended. And a normal citizen would have just hung up and said, wow, I missed the meeting. However, I've been at this for a little over a year, and I'm finding that, well my third one, I'm through here talking. So as I've been speaking with the mostly the Vancouver City Council, but now the Clark County Council and the Clark County Board of Health, which are one and the same. Most people don't know that. But that, I've been fighting these people and stuff and noticing that their websites also are misleading, not transparent, or actually sometimes give out false information or delete things or put on an agenda and then they, oops, we didn't mean to do that. So we can't have that going on here in Clark County and in our sister cities, all of the cities in Clark County is what I care for. So in Vancouver, they follow a two agenda order, which is a one world order and to depopulate. I am out to wake up Clark County citizens as to what is happening here as in America, as it is being weakened by all the free spending by our local government, by using the American Rescue Plan and the Build Back Better. Those sound really good and stuff, but they're actually using hard-earned tax dollars. So Biden is a criminal, so is Inslee, and this state is a socialist, communist, Marxist state. People just don't want to hear about it. They're going to scoff at me and this and that. However, there's going to be proof, you know, God works in mysterious ways in my life. And my First Amendment rights were taken away here in Clark County, so we're going to see what the citizens think about this as we try to struggle to get our First Amendment rights and our Constitution back into our local government. We trust you people. We vote for you. They think that the people think that you're following the Constitution, which our godly forefathers put for us to protect us against the government that gets too large and too socialistic, wanting to take care of all the people and making their own pockets rich, but yet using hard-earned tax dollars to be a socialist state. It is here in Clark County. Kind of getting off my notes here a little bit, but
Kimberly, your 3 minutes is up. We appreciate your public comment, but your 3 minutes is up.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else wanting to give public comment online? Seeing none, I will close the public comment. It's now time for council reports. Start over here with Councilor Cole.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Welcome to the new year. I wanted to use my time it's been a couple of weeks, but I thought it was just kind of worth notating publicly just to thank our public works crews over the holidays. We had a rough couple of weeks there with ice and flooding and all kinds of stuff happening. Those guys were on point especially over a major holiday season. And so I just really want to, and I had several people come up to me and tell me, said, hey, pass it along to those guys because they really deserve, they earned their money. So I just want to thank those guys. Also just attended the legislative breakfast just recently between the city and the port and our state legislators. And then also just a couple of other events. Greet Ridgefield had a renaming relaunch, formerly Ridgefield Life Magazine, and got to attend that event the other day too, which was good to see people in the community come together for that. So, yeah.
Councilor Chipman.
So I also was at the Great Ridgefield event at Windy Hills last night, and that was an opportunity to meet some new people that we hadn't met or seen before. I also attended the Clark College breakfast with the elected officials that were able to attend. That was a really good event a week ago on Friday. Attended the Clark Regional Wastewater District meeting on Tuesday, and the only interesting thing probably to talk about out of that is that the center has still not been able to hire an operator for their sewer system. And so they have been working on this for evidently several months and have not had anyone that has been able to come forward. So they're still continuing to talk with the Clark Regional Wastewater District about helping out in that situation. So that's all I have.
Councillor Wells.
Again, I'd like to give kudos to the Public Works crew. And staff for manning and supervising them and keeping everybody out there and getting their schedules put together because it was hectic. Since the first year, the third, I attended legislative breakfast, the 10th, a pre-app on the YMCA, the 11th, briefing with Mr. Stewart, and the council evening this evening.
Councillor Onslow.
I attended two legislative meetings with our representatives, both the Ridgefield one and Clark College. And then I'm the new representative for North County on the Regional Transportation Commission. I attended that. We had the tree planting. We planted 900 trees at Horns Corner. Went really fast. We probably were there an hour, and we planted for about a half an hour. And Pepsi was gracious enough to treat everybody to pizza, kids and everything. So that showed up, and it was really nice. And then we also have restarted the Community Development Block Grant Program, which I'm a representative on for the city of Ridgefield. And just so for your information, we're just finishing up one of the grants that we did receive, and that's on 8th and Simons. There's a new sidewalk, new curbs, new water lines and stormwater, as well as the paving on the road. So it was really a good project. The city paid for about half of it, and the other half was in grants. So it was good. It was busy few weeks.
Councillor Coker.
Thank you. Yes, I was also at the planting, and I've already signed up for the next planting, which is the first Saturday in February. And the Vancouver Watershed Alliance has assured me that they've learned from the January event and have plenty of trees for the next planting. We had extra assistance from the Casey School out in Brush Prairie, and the students were very eager to get their volunteer hours and help us out. So hopefully they'll be back to help us out as well. Also attended the Chamber of Commerce board meeting and refreshed our networking event commitments for 2023. So I'd like to invite everybody to two networking events that we have next week on Wednesday the 18th from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Sportsman. We have our Wind Down Wednesday. It is open to all. You do not have to be a member. Our mission and goal of the Chamber is to really connect everybody, not just businesses, but community members and leaders to each other and to businesses. And then Friday, if you're not available for an evening event, we have our first and third Friday's coffee connections up at Lava Java near the freeway. And that's from 7:30 to 8:30 a.m. for more networking.
This morning, I attended the Ridgefield Main Street event with Councillor Chipman, and we had three or four different mental health organizations here giving a presentation on how they serve the community here. And so I want to use my time to let everybody know that this Thursday, January 19th, I've got a flyer right here, that there's a suicide awareness here at the RAC from 5 to 6 p.m. So again, next Thursday, January 19th, that's the following Thursday. So put that on your calendar. You know, one of the things that stuck out is they said there was 70, last year there was 70 students that had suicidal inclinations and that reached out for help. And that's a huge number. And so anyways, it was good to hear about the awareness. With that, we'll go to staff reports. We'll start with you, Mr. Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor Pro Tem, Council, and Community. Just a couple of things to add from what was already discussed by the Council. Just a couple of business openings to let people know about. Next week on the 16th, we've learned that Beverage Public House, which is right next to where all of that great work was occurring at Horns Corner Community Park for the planting, they are going to be opening on the 16th. And I know that there have been a lot of people looking forward to that restaurant opening up. Also in downtown, Bunny's, which is owned by the same owners as Lil Conejo, they're looking to open next week as well. So we have a couple of great little restaurant openings next week. Obviously, there are a lot of larger business openings, but these are a couple that I know that people have been looking forward to. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Questions? Ms. Lust.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. I believe I mentioned at our December meeting, maybe, that community development, as well as engineering and so building, land use, and engineering, we're going to be doing lean process improvement trainings covering our commercial permitting process. The land use portion of that was this week. I'm sure we'll report out once the other groups have gone through their processes as well, but just as an update, that went very well. We learned a lot about the work our partners in other departments are doing and found some good areas to make improvements in. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor Pro Tem. I'd just like to thank all of Council for their feedback and information they gave back to us in the study session, and we'll be coming back at a later date with the results of the audit that we do on the energy systems. Any questions?
Questions, Council? No? Ms. Nottenaris. Okay. Chief Dorio.
I don't have anything either, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
All right. Oh, and we have any questions for no. Ms. Parker, I see you're on the line. Do you have anything for us?
I do not have anything for you tonight, but hope you all had a happy new year, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
All right. Thank you. Well, with that, we'll adjourn the meeting.